Amen. All right, check this out. Call it luck or call it fate. That's right. But this guy, Ota Binga. How many guys heard of that guy? Probably nobody, but you should. Listen to this. Ota Binga, he was an African pygmy, and he had just narrowly escaped. True story, by the way. He had just narrowly escaped the massacre of his whole village by a group of thugs working for the Belgian government. But soon his luck would run out because after they murdered his wife and children and mutilated their bodies, these thugs captured Ota and sold him into slavery. The year was 1904. I thought it was done after the Civil War. No, still going on. And from there, Ota was shipped and displayed in the anthropology wing in 1904 St. Louis World's Fair as evidence for, guess what? Evolution. They actually did this. Can you believe this? You see, the organizers wanted to draw an evolutionary distinction between the darkest blacks and the dominant whites, showing that they were actually a lower race of people. Ooh, they don't show that on the news, do they? Continues on. And then if that wasn't bad enough, after the World's Fair, Ota was sent to the Bronx Zoo thanks to a Dr. William Hornaday. And the reason why is because he believed there was no apparent difference between a wild beast and this little black man named Ota. So they built him an exhibit in the zoo to live in. And then he was given a parrot and an orangutan as cage mates to keep him company. And they told him to spend as much time as he wanted inside the monkey house. In fact, they even gave him a bow and arrow and told him to shoot it as a part of the exhibit. But in time, Ota Binga began to hate being the object of evolutionary curiosity. Nearly every man, woman, and child made a beeline for the monkey house to see this wild man from Africa. And here they not only jeered and yelled at him, but they poked at him in the ribs. They tripped him just so everybody could laugh and make fun of him. And so in 1916, after growing homesick and in despair, Ota Binga borrowed a revolver, shot himself in the heart, and ended his life, as well as his nightmare, with evolutionary teaching. That really happened. Okay? How many guys have ever, again, heard of that? Like, nobody, right? Okay? That really happened as a byproduct of evolutionary teachings. Why don't you put that on the History Channel? You dig up all kinds of stuff. Why don't you tell of the horrible side effects of evolution and what it entails? But according to this, as you can see, this is one of the reasons why evolution is not only bankrupt, but it is a dangerous theory. Evolution, when you look at it, and what people do with this mindset, is it actually helps to produce racism. How many guys would say that was a little bit racist of those people to capture that guy in the 1900s, put him in a cage, and say he's evidence for evolution, and he's proof that the whites are more dominant? That really happened, okay? Now, believe it or not, it's starting to finally come out as this dark history of evolution, and people reporting that this really happened, folks. Let's take a look at this video.
Evolutionists looking for imaginary half-ape, half-human fossils did not regard backing their theory up with fake fossils alone as at all adequate. They also imagined that they might be able to find living specimens of the evidence they needed in various parts of the world. The result of the frantic endeavors evolutionists made in order to find living proof of evolution once more unmasked the fanatical devotion they felt for their theory. Evolutionists would stop at nothing in order to find evidence, but their next move was to be far more barbaric than those that had gone before. The barbarity committed by an evolutionist researcher by the name of Samuel Werner in 1904 came about as the result of his search for living evidence in the Congo. Werner captured an African pygmy known as Ota Binga, a married man and father of two children, whom he depicted as evidence that human beings had evolved from apes. Despite being a human being, Ota Binga was chained like an animal, kept in a cage, and taken to America. On his arrival in America, Ota Binga was put on display in a cage with various species of ape at the St. Louis World Fair. Ota Binga, depicted as if the closest intermediate form to man, was transferred to the Bronx Zoo in New York 2 years later. There, he was put on display as the so-called ancestor of man alongside a gorilla called Dinah and an orangutan known as Duhang. Evolutionist publications immediately began carrying articles about Ota Binga. Thousands of people flooded to the zoo to catch sight of Ota Binga. who was treated savagely just like an ordinary animal. The director of the zoo, the evolutionist Dr. William T. Hornaday, made a number of speeches describing his pride at having a supposed intermediate form in his zoo. Otabenga eventually killed himself. This event is significant in revealing the irrational and unconscionable practices that Darwinists might resort to in order to pursue the lie of evolution.
Not to mention, over the last several weeks, all the falsified pictures. Hey, Mary, give it up. Mary Wagner's in the house. Woo! Yeah. But can you believe they actually resorted to that for their supposed proof of evolution? Drug that guy to Africa, put him in a zoo here in America, okay? But again, that's what the tip of the iceberg. If you've been with our other studies, they do the same thing. This is their evidence. This is their evidence. Falsified pictures, this kind of stuff going on. Okay, doctored photos, fake bones, the whole thing. Folks, evolution, as we've been seeing, folks, is not just a lie. It's a horrible lie. But it's a belief system that is extremely dangerous, and it promotes racism. As we're going to see, it promotes murder. It promotes a modern-day Holocaust. And that's why we're going to continue in our study, The Witness of Creation. And what we're doing is we're taking a look at the different evidences of creation that God's given to us to show us the good news. It's not just that he's real. It's that we really can have an intimate relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Anybody glad about that? You might be glad that you say, hey, God exists. Oh, well, you're on your own. No, we can have a relationship with him. Okay, and so far we saw the first way that he gives us this amazing evidence is the evidence of an intelligent creation or intelligent design. We saw the second evidence was the evidence of a young creation. We have not been here for millions and billions of years. The biblical account is correct once again. Okay, the third evidence we saw the last several times was the evidence of a special creation, okay? And what we've been seeing is the good news, folks, is that the Bible says, hey, here's the reason why you can get out of bed. That we have been created for a special purpose, for a special relationship with a special God. Isn't that exciting? Okay, but the problem is evolution says the opposite. They come in, no. Here's your marching orders. Here's what's going to help you become that productive citizen. Here's the reason for living. You are nothing. You came from nowhere, and you have no future. Yeah, ooh. Isn't that motivational? That's what evolution teaches, folks. There's no reason for life, okay? There's no reason for existence. There's no purpose. There's no value. And what we saw is that logically, what you behave determines, or what you believe determines how you behave. It's not just a hopeless belief, but what we've been seeing is it's all based on hoaxes. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was true and we were forced to go into this, but it's not. It's a bunch of baloney. And so last time we saw the next thing that they say, oh no, we have proof for evolution, was natural selection. And we took a look at that, not just the biblical account, okay, but we took a look at their evidence supposedly for that thing. We saw it's got some serious problems with natural selection. The process doesn't work. The examples don't work. What a bunch of lies that was. Remember that peppered moth? Excuse me, you glued him to a tree, you liar. Okay. Amongst other things, the examples don't work, the quotes don't work, and the belief doesn't work. As we saw, it was evolution. He even admitted it, Hitler, that he used to justify the Holocaust. Okay? Because that was his master race, the Aryan race, and everybody else was sub-race. That's an evolutionary mindset. As we're going to see again tonight, believe it or not, it was that evolutionary mindset that was indoctrinated into the schools of Germany that began to give rise to Hitler's behavior. Okay? But we're not quite there yet. But anyway, but you might be thinking, okay, so maybe this supposed evolution of people, animals, what have you, with natural selection as the process is a bunch of baloney. It doesn't work, okay? But what about that one that we all got brainwashed with in biology class? You know, they say, oh no, this is how it all happens. And that was the teaching of embryology. You guys remember that? All four of you who paid attention in biology class, okay? And believe it or not, it's still taught today. And that basic premise is this, and this is, oh no, this is how we know we've evolved, over the supposed embryology, and we go through these various stages where we trace in our embryonic forms our evolutionary past, and all these similarities you see in these different embryos of people and animals and things of that nature proves that we had a common ancestor. We all started from a single cell blob, right? And so again, the question is, well, it's one thing for you to teach that, okay? It's one thing to have you printed that with doctored photos in the textbook, but is it true? Is embryology true? No, okay? But before we get to that, let's once again get reacquainted with the biblical answer for where life came from, okay? And let's look at both sides, okay? So open your Bibles to Isaiah 44. Let's take a look and see where we came from, okay? Isaiah 44, let's open there. Isaiah, of course, was written by Isaiah. You guys are on the ball. Isaiah 44. We're going to look at verses 21 through 24. Let's take a look here. And we're going to see, where do we come from? Was it purely by chance, some blob of goo that decided to get struck by lightning and went from there? Or was there a little bit more involvement from somebody, namely God? Okay, let's take a look. Isaiah 44, verse 21. When you get there, say moo. Moo. There's a demon in the house. Lay hands on it. Whatever is going on there, stuff. Verse 21 says this. Now, God's speaking, of course, and he says this. Remember these things, O Jacob, for you are my servant, O Israel. Who has made you? God's speaking here. Who's made them? I, God says, I have made you. You are my servant. O Israel, I will not forget you. I have swept away your offensive like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all you trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who what? Formed you where? In the womb, you know, in the embryonic stage, if you will. Who formed us in the womb? God. It was an act of God. He clearly says right here, he says, I am the Lord who has made how many things? All things, plants, animals, the whole thing. I have made all things, God says, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by who? Myself. Now notice, he did not say, who stretched out the heavens and made all things by millions and billions of years through mutations and misfits and experimentation. I finally got it right. He didn't say that. It's called theistic evolution. We saw before. That's a lie. Okay, God doesn't, you know, he gets things right the first time. He's God, okay? But he said, I made it by myself, okay? So once again, the Bible is clear. God is not only the one who made the heavens and the earth, but he is the one specifically who is responsible for our birth, right? See, this is great news. This is why I say this is special news. This is awesome news. You know, think of our messed up world, and you got kids out there who they don't even think that they were, you know, their parents might even say that, if you can believe that. Or maybe they don't know who their parents are. But they have this mentality that they were an accident. And maybe people tell them that. But that's not what God says. No child is an accident. Every child is a gift from God. Every child is a gift from God. That's awesome, great news, okay? And that's what the Bible says. But the problem is, what does evolution say? Do they say that God is the one who made us, and there's the great news that you got a purpose and value in life, and he knew you even while you were in the womb? He's the one who put you there, right? No, that's not what it says. They say, no, it's purely by chance in this embryonic goo, and there's no reason or value to your existence, okay? So therefore, we saw, step one, if we're going to be discerning, we're not just disagreeing with evolution because the Bible says something. We're going to go and take a look at this thing called embryology. Okay, we looked at the biblical account. Now let's take a look at this embryology thing that they want to say is their justification and proof for evolution. And we're going to see how it's supposed to work. Now, key word there, Tom, is supposed to work, okay? But let's take a look at that, how it's supposed to work, okay? Now, the idea of embryology, or the big word, is ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. And you have to say it like that. And because it's big and hard to sound, it must be true. Yeah, that's usually what it goes by. It began in the work in the 1800s with this guy here, a German evolutionist named Ernst Haeckel. Now, as you can tell, he never fed his dog Sparky there. Poor little guy. Okay, that's not a dog. It's a monkey, Tom. And I don't know if he fed it. But anyway, but this guy, he's the one that started this, okay, back in the 1800s, okay? He said that as a fertilized egg developed to form an embryo, it actually repeats its evolutionary history, you know, back in the original primordial goo, right? So Haeckel eventually examined, here's some pictures here, and drew pictures of fish, frogs, chicken, pigs, and human embryos side by side. You see right there. Are you starting to now picture the embryology thing in textbooks? Because it's still there today, but it's a bunch of baloney. We'll get to that in a second. So he did it side by side, and he says, well, see, right there, there's a remarkable similarity between their stages of development. Look at all those similarities. Therefore, he said, it was these supposed similarities that provided a silent moving picture, if you will, of our evolutionary past. So, to help propagate his new religion, Haeckel drew enormous backdrops of his pictures of his embryos and toured from city to city. He didn't have PowerPoint or video clip. That's what they did back in the day. So he toured from city to city over there in Germany to the point where, listen to this, it is blasphemous, to the point where it was called a sort of Darwinian passion play. So he took all those photos you can see there, and he literally would go from place to place, town to town, and give his presentation of proof of evolution with these photos, these drawings of embryos. Okay? Now, Charles Darwin believed it was Haeckel's enthusiasm that was the main reason for Germany's acceptance of evolution. Ooh. So this guy helped Hitler to get on the bandwagon to eventually produce a Holocaust. Okay? It was this guy's work. Haeckel didn't stop there. I'm not making this up. He even came up with a new missing link. Okay? And he called it the Pithecanthropus allulus, or the speechless ape man, is what that means. And he even made an artist, had an artist draw the imagined creatures you can see there, and his supposed wife. Apparently, if you draw it, it must be true. Whatever. Okay, standard procedures we've been seeing the last several weeks with their proof of evolution. And I'm not making this up. I didn't say this, but I have to report the facts. Later, a Dutch scientist concluded that since neither one of them could speak, it, quote, it must have been a happy marriage because his wife couldn't contradict him. Hey, I didn't say that, but I have to report the facts. Let's move on. And so much so was this idea of Haeckel's embryology accepted that we still see its influence today behind such things as Freudian psychology. It didn't just influence Hitler. It's been a major influence with Freudian psychology, where Freud believed that in order to understand dysfunctional behavior, we need to understand our earlier stages of evolutionary development. Okay, so it had a big impact on him. By the way, we've seen before Freud was an atheist. He was an evolutionist, and he believed that the whole idea of God was made up by our forefathers just to cope with life. Later, he met Carl Jung, as we saw before, and these are the pillars of secular psychology. We've seen this before. He met up with Carl Jung. Freud also was a hypocrite because Carl Jung wanted to psychoanalyze him with his own teachings. He says, no, you can't do that on me. That's called a hypocrite in the South. Okay. He also was severely addicted to nicotine, and that's what caused his death. And as we saw before, Carl Jung, of course, was into mysticism, seances, necromancy, and he even admitted that in times of trouble, he carved a wooden ruler into a man, put it in a box. In times of trouble, he talked to it. He called it Mannequin. And then he even admitted that his inspiration, Carl Jung, his inspiration came from a spirit guide who spoke to him as he walked. He called it Philemon. It's the demon. And I'm supposed to listen to secular psychology over the Bible? Excuse me? But evolution, Haeckel's embryology, had an influence even in that arena. But that's not all. We also see in the beliefs of popular child specialist Dr. Spock. Now, not the guy with the funky ears and finger thing. It's a different guy. And had a major influence on how you're supposed to raise kids. You know, you can't spank them anymore, and you can't do all that stuff, and that's where this comes from. He said, quote, each child, as he develops, is retracing the whole history of mankind, physically and spiritually, step by step. A baby starts off in the womb as a single tiny cell, just the way it first appeared, the first living thing appeared in the ocean. Weeks later, as he lies in the amniotic fluid of the womb, he has gills like a fish. Have you ever been bitten by a little kid? Those things are... But that's not what's going on. And then, just in case you doubt, that's right, folks, as recent as 1986, the Reader's Digest book of what? Facts. Well, it must be true, right, Tom? Okay. Stated that Haeckel's theory of embryology really is an established fact. So again, that's the question. That's how it's supposed to work. That's the justification. That's who it's influenced in our society and around the world. But the question is it really true? Is embryology an established fact? Did the Reader's Digest Book of Facts prove it? No, folks, it's absolutely a bunch of baloney, and that's what we're going to see. And the reason why we know is because there's problems with the theory. Okay? Now, go ahead and look at that. Get it out of your system, because I'm going to show it, Lord willing, four times. And I know that the whole time, even right now as I speak, you're not paying attention to me. Your eyes are glued to that nifty animation. Do I know you or what? Okay, yeah, it's cool. It's happening. But it's explosive, okay? And that's what we're going to see, folks, with this supposed theory. It's explosive with lies. The whole thing is a pack of lies. This is one of the big, they're all a bunch of lies, but this one takes the cake, okay? First of all, you got the chicken sack problem, okay? Now, right there tells you that something evil's going on, right? Sarah, in the back? Yeah, you know. Okay, I see you. Okay, anyway, so chicken sack problem. I'm not making this up. Haeckel stated that the similarity, here's his justification for this, right? The similarity of the chicken or egg yolk sac in his diagrams of embryos was solid proof that they were all retracing their so-called evolutionary history path, right? Okay? And he felt that since each embryo had this same yolk sac, that he called it, they obviously must have had similar beginnings, right? Because they all get this sac-looking thing. Excuse me? Nothing could be further from the truth, folks, as we're going to see. First of all, a baby chicken is in a shell without connection to its mother, right? Therefore, its yolk sac is the source of nourishment until it hatches. Okay? So the so-called yolk sac in a baby human, though, serves a totally different purpose. Okay? First of all, since we weren't born in a shell, how many of you guys can verify that tonight? If you're not sure, call your mom later, okay, and she'll tell you. Okay, we didn't weren't born in a shell, and we don't grow attached to our mothers. We do grow attached to our mothers, but we reserve our nourishment directly from them. That's the umbilical cord. Okay, so what's the sac thing? Well, our blood is made in our bones, but when we were embryos, we had no bones. Okay, so God gave us a tiny sac-like organ or a pouch to make our blood for us, otherwise we'd die. That's what our sac is for. It's for our blood. It's not for nourishment. It has nothing to do with the other thing that is for a chicken. Completely, totally different. Okay, the only similarity of the so-called egg sac, according to Haeckel, is the shape and its name. That's it. It doesn't even serve the same purpose. It's ridiculous. It's not a throwback to an earlier chicken stage, and it has nothing to do with a similar evolutionary path. Okay, but another justification he wanted to say is, no. In these embryos, we all see a tail, right? And this is what he said. He said, because he sees the similar tail structures in the embryos, this is further proof that there's a similar evolutionary path, okay? Now, it is true that animals do grow on to... Yeah, see, you like his hairdo? Anyway, not chicken, no! It works, doesn't it? Anyway, so it's true that animals go on to develop a tail, right? Your dog, cat, out of this embryonic stage. Okay, but he's a liar. The part that he identified as a tail in humans is actually our backbone. It's not a tail. He's lying. The only reason why it looks like a tail is because at this stage of our development, our spines are longer than our bodies because it grows before our legs do. Okay? And therefore, it sticks out looking like a so-called tail, but it has nothing to do with a tail. It's our backbone. You lied. Again. Okay? There's no similarity that's going on. It's not a throwback to an animal stage. It has nothing to do with a similar evolutionary past. Okay, let me give you another one. The gill slit problem was another one. He said, this is proof. They're all together from the same source. He said that he saw these gill slits, or literally fish gills, in his embryos, and this was proof, once again, of a similar evolutionary past. Not at all. Okay, now yes, in a fish, these gill slits do develop into fully functional gills that breathes and extracts oxygen out of the water. Okay, theirs turn into that. Okay, here's the problem. In humans, it has nothing to do with fish gills, let alone with breathing, these things that he described, okay? Instead, scientists now know that these so-called gill slits, as he called them, are actually folds of skin, that's all they are, that later develop into the middle ear canals, the parathyroids, and the thymus gland. As one guy puts it, he quote, they're nothing but little folds of skin in humans and have nothing to do with breathing, okay? And he said, for instance, he said, I've seen overweight people with 5 or 6 chins, and they can't breathe out of any of them but the top one. He said it. I didn't. But I have to report the facts, okay? Is the case there. Therefore, these gill slits are not a throwback to a fish stage. Hello. And once again, it has nothing to do with a so-called similar evolutionary path. Okay? Now, that's the basis that he said, this is proof. Okay, I saw this chicken sac thing, this tail thing, and these gill slit things, and it all proves that we all came from the same kind of goo. You examine it, we're not just disagreeing it because the Bible says something different. We took a look at your evidence, and we took a look at the medical evidence of what we now know they really are, and how many guys would say, once again, we've been lied to? Okay, big time. And I'm telling you folks, that's the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg on this lie called embryology, okay? We're going to take a look at the second problem we have, and there's problems with the evidence. Now, go ahead, Tom. Stare at that for a little bit. I'll give you some time. Roll with it. It's exciting. It's cool. It's like, wow, there it goes again. It just keeps looping. Do it again. No, we're going to move on. I got a lot to cover, okay? There's a problem with the evidence. We're going to take a look at the evidence, folks, and you tell me if, once again, we're not being lied to, okay? First of all, there's the picture problem. Remember he went around with all these pictures? Right? And so, hey, it's on a picture. The guy brought these into our town on these nifty slides. They've got to be true. Amazing, folks. This is all the best they got. The only problem with all those pictures and diagrams and the embryos that Haeckel used to prove his theory, remember, this is what influenced the German people, which influenced the Holocaust. The pictures were fakes. Total fakes. Total lies, folks. As it turns out, Haeckel was an accomplished artist, as well as an anatomist. Okay? Therefore, he faked the drawings to make his theory appear true. Anybody starting to see a pattern every single week when we look at the mechanisms of how evolution is supposed to work? Even though we ignore all the evidence for intelligent design, we play a little game and give you all the millions and millions of years. Let's take a look at how it's supposed to work. Every single one is based on what? Lies. Every one of them. As we saw before, if all you got is lies to support your theory, what's the logical response? Get a new theory. Okay? But he faked every one of those drawings. And believe it or not, his phony pictures, listen to this, and data were exposed as frauds as early as how long ago had they known this was a lie? 1874. For those of you hooked on math, how long has that been? 140 years. That's right. Come get your gum later. I'll give it to you, Aaron. Okay. 140 years ago, this was exposed a lie. Why do you still have it in textbooks today? Not 40 years. Not even 100 years. 140 years ago, it was a lie, and you still have it today. For instance, let me give you some examples of how bad he doctored this stuff up. At the top is Haeckel's phony drawings of a dog and a human embryo. Look, they're similar backgrounds, evolution. Okay, at the this is in his book, The History of Creation. However, below are the original drawings of a dog and human embryo. Notice a little bit of difference there? Okay, the guy totally lied. Okay, let me give you another example. To show you how much he manipulated the facts, here's a picture of Haeckel's drawing on the top. Okay, now the actual embryos are on the bottom. Notice a little bit of difference there. Excuse me, did a sandstorm come up and get in your eye on that second one? Because it's really different. With the bloated looking, what? Guy's a liar, folks, is what's going on here, okay? They're not only severely different, but Haeckel obviously altered them to get the desired results, okay? Now, here's the conviction problem, not just the picture problem. But folks, again, it was as exposed as a lie back in 1874, but he himself was convicted of this fraud by his own university. It's on record. This is how bad this is. At Jena, the university where he taught, he was charged with fraud by 5 professors and convicted by the university court. Okay? And as a result, Haeckel was considered a disgrace for the remainder of his career. But even after clearly being guilty, he was clearly convicted of this fraud. He was basically, you're out. Right? Listen to what he said. He not only blamed other people for his lying behavior, but listen to his quote. This is chilling. He goes, quote, "Other evolutionists have committed similar offenses back in 1874. What else are you lying about? Right? I got caught. They didn't. Can you believe that? Then there's the fraud problem. Believe it or not, in spite that this was proven wrong back as 140 years ago, folks, they're still used in biology textbooks today. Let me give you a couple examples. Here's the actual picture supporting Haeckel's theory from a textbook called Biology 6th Edition, 2004, by Raven and Johnson. Proven a lie 140 years ago, still taught in textbooks today as evidence for evolution. You've got to be kidding me. Now, either the authors are ignorant of the truth or they're deliberately lying to promote the religion of evolution. There is no other way around this book. Okay, in fact, embryologist Michael Richardson in Science Magazine said, quote, he admitted it's still in textbooks today, even though it's a lie. Sadly, it is the discredited 1874 drawings that are used in so many British and American textbooks, biology textbooks. Therefore, believe it or not, it still continues on today. I bet you if you go look around in the secular school system here in Las Vegas, guess what you're going to find in some biology textbooks today? This baloney as evidence of evolution, even though it was proven wrong, a lie, a fraud, 140 years ago. Can you believe that? That's the best you got? And remember, what is the modus of operandus? Every time when you and I as a Christian say, hey, well, no, wait a second. I don't think this is true. What is the premise against us?
Oh, you're being unscientific. You guys are anti-intellectual. At least we have the ability to think on our own. You're brainwashed.
What? Okay. Yours is all based on lies, okay? But again, that's still the tip of the iceberg, okay? Believe it or not, there are some evolutionists in their own camp who admit that this stuff is completely bankrupt, okay? And let's take a look at some of their quotes with that as well, okay? And the first one is a big evolutionist. His name is Stephen Jay Gould. You guys know him? Big, huge, massive evolutionist. And here's what he said about embryology. He said, Haeckel had exaggerated the similarities between embryos of different species. And his drawings never fooled expert embryologists who recognized his what? Fudgings. What, can we translate that code word? Lie. They recognized, even in their own camp, They recognized his lie right from the start. Hegel's drawings, despite their noted inaccuracies, entered into the most impenetrable and permanent of all quasi-scientific literatures. Where'd it go? Standard student textbooks of biology. Can you believe that? We do, I think, he says, have the right to be both astonished and ashamed by the century of mindless recycling that has led to the persistence of these drawings in a large number, if not a majority, of modern textbooks. So they even admit that it's shameful behavior. A zoologist, this guy from Basel University, he said that his drawings, Hegel's drawings, were, quote, a sin against scientific truthfulness. Now, again, if you and I object to this, by and large, we're the ones who are, like, being belligerent. But even in their own camp, they says, when you deal with the facts, this is a sin against science. This is so not science. It's this. They call it a sin, if you can believe that. Okay, Dr. Michael Richardson, he's at St. George Medical School in London. He said, this is one of the worst cases of what? Scientific fraud. It's shocking to find that somebody once thought of as a great scientist was deliberately misleading. It makes me angry. What Hegel did was to take a human embryo and copy it, pretending that the salamander and the pig and all the others look the same at the same stage of development. They don't. These are what? Fakes. They admit it, okay? Let me give you a couple more here. This guy, Arthur Keith, he stated, now the appearance of the embryo at all stages is known. Okay, so we know it now. We don't have to rely on artist rendition. Okay, so we know. He says the general feeling is one of what? Disappointment. The human embryo at no stage is anthropoid in appearance. The embryo of the mammal never resembles the worm, the fish, or the reptile. Embryology provides no support whatsoever for the evolutionary hypothesis. So I'm kind of coming to this conclusion. I think it's logical. I don't think it's anti-intellectual. How many guys would say, if even the evolutionists admit that Haeckel's drawings are a fake, a fraud, and a sin against science, that this stuff is a bunch of baloney? Absolutely, folks. This is how bankrupt it is. But that's still not all. The fourth reason why we know this is a lie is because, like with all the other lines of evolution, there's problems with the belief. Okay, because again, what you believe determines how you behave. And if you believe in the lie of embryology, it actually leads to another holocaust. Now, let me share that with you. At the beginning of this study tonight, we shared the story of how evolution gave the justification for the horrible treatment of Otubinga, right? Where they hijacked him from Africa, put him in a zoo as proof of evolution in the 1900s, right? Evolution gave rise to that racist behavior. Now, the lie of embryology is not just being used in textbooks today, but it's given rise to another holocaust, a modern holocaust, called abortion. And those who believe in abortion, murdering of a child, because that's what it is. Now, we talk about Hitler and his holocaust on the Jewish people, 6 million, and rightly so. But there is a modern holocaust that is blowing what he did away. It's called abortion, murdering of children. Now, those in that camp use the lie of embryology to justify that belief system. With statements like this, this all comes from embryology, evolution embryology. They say, oh, quote, we are not cutting up a baby. Listen, it's just a fish or a jellyfish. It's not human. It's just a tissue, like a kind of parasite or segmented worm. Evolution and the lie of embryology is what people use to justify that's not a child that I'm cutting up. It's just a segmented worm. Because we all know we started out as a worm from our evolutionary past. I mean, haven't you seen Hegel's... Do you see what I'm going with it? This is not just a lie. This lie is being used to create another modern holocaust. And let me show you just how deadly this holocaust has become, all based on a lie. Okay, let's take a look at some facts on abortion. 48% of all pregnancies among American women are unintended. But are they... Is that what God says, though? You may not have planned on it, but who did? God. So there's no reason to kill your child. Excuse me, trust God. And if you didn't want to take care of it, then you need to let it go to full term. And there's a whole bunch of parents out there. My family was one of them who's adopted two kids. They'd love to take care of those children. Okay, there's no reason to ever kill your child. Excuse me? And one half of these potential children are killed by abortion. Wow. Each year, 2 out of every 100 women ages 15 to 44 have an abortion. 47% of them had already had at least one prior abortion. Now, we talked about this as interns a couple nights ago when it comes to this issue of abortion. You need to change the terminology to correct terminology. Don't use their terminology. They want to say, well, excuse me, are you anti-abortion? Yes, I am anti-murdering of children. See, abortion takes away the sting, doesn't it? You mean to tell me that you think you have a problem with me getting rid of that fetus? Yes, I have a problem with you killing that baby. See, they use fetus instead of baby because it doesn't sting, right? So let's reread this with really what's going on. Each year, 2 out of every 100 women ages 15 to 44 kill a child. 47% of those ladies have already killed a child before that. That stings more, doesn't it? But that's the truth. Oh, by the way, that's Anna Rosa. She survived an abortion. Her arm was chopped off, but she survived. This is really what's going on. Now, again, evolution is the justification for that. How could you do this heinous holocaust on the unborn, on children? Because it's not a child, it's a fetus, it's a segmented worm. And it's all based on a lie. Let's continue on. An estimated 43% of women will have had at least one abortion by the time they're 45 years old. Let's translate that again. An estimated 43% of women will kill one child by the time they're 45 years old. You wonder why the wrath of God is coming. Not for one, not for two, not for three, not for four, but for 7 years nonstop. And that's just one sin. Murdering children. During the Revolutionary War, let's put it in perspective. During the Revolutionary War, 25,000 Americans died. During the Civil War, nearly 500,000 people died. During World War I, over 100,000 people died. During World War II, over 400,000 people died. And in both the Korean and Vietnam Wars, about 113,000 people died. However, since 1973, the war on children, we have now murdered 57 million babies in America alone. Hitler, 6 million Jews, 57 million babies in the United States, just since 1973. I just checked the stats this week, and this is the worldwide one. Since 1980, not 73, since 1980, we have now murdered 1.344 billion children around the planet. And you really think God's being mean in his wrath in the 7-year tribulation? That's just one sin that we know about. What about everything else that goes on? He sees it all. Excuse me? That's how wicked it's getting. And it's all based on this lie called evolution and embryology. And now it's produced one of the most vicious, murderous societies here in America that we have ever seen. I'm going to share with you as we close. This just came out. This is an expose on Planned Parenthood. This lie of evolution is turning people into the most murderous generation ever in the history of our nation. Watch this.
They want to talk about morality? Look at what we represent right now.
Abortion on demand and without apology.
I'm so glad to be a featured doctor, and I will perform abortions and I'll be proud of it.
There is no shame in abortion. I'm planning on being an abortion provider. I had an abortion a few weeks ago. My insurance actually covered it.
Our body, our choice. I agree. Rock on.
Abortion is healthcare.
Unless you're going to start adopting all of these kids that are going to be born, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have the maintenance.
Government should fund abortion, yeah.
Not the church, not the state! Women must decide their fate!
F*** them! I've had enough of their bullshit!
And I really want them to stop making decisions about my body with their Bibles. Keep your rosaries off my ovaries.
It is not a baby. A baby is a fetus that has been born.
A baby's going to get in the way of the job that I need to get to pay off those loans.
Because we can't wait for tomorrow, because if I get pregnant tomorrow, I want an abortion. So if I got pregnant today, I would abort the baby. I'm saying that, and I wouldn't feel bad about that.
I want Planned Parenthood to be like Starbucks. I want a Planned Parenthood on every corner.
Where does that kind of society come from? It comes from now 50 years of removing this from our school system in America, the Bible and prayer, supplanting it with a lie called evolution, and it's now spawned this. Where our society is so wicked that we want to have a place on every corner where we can go and murder children. And it's all based on a lie called evolution, and one of the biggest frauds ever that's been proven alive for 140 years called embryology. And we're the ones who are being anti-scientific and belligerent? I don't think so. I think it's time that people get reacquainted with the good news. There is no accident. God has a wonderful purpose for every single child. Every single child is a special creation from Him. And we wonder why the wrath of God is coming. I'll close with this. Hey, we can sit there and pray all day long, oh, God bless America. But can I tell you something? Unless we stop the slaughter of millions upon millions upon millions of children in our country, I say God's getting ready to judge me. Folks, we need to get the truth out on this issue. You wonder why I'm preaching on evolution? Because it gives justification for all kinds of junk just like this. And it's up to us as Christians to get the truth out. Amen? Okay? But you might be thinking, okay, well, supposed natural selection and now embryology is a bunch of baloney as supposedly creating this evolution. But they got a couple more out there, Tom. How many guys heard those things called vestigial organs? They're awesome because after a while, your hands start to get cramped. No, not that kind of organ. Vestigial organ, the mutations, all about mutations. We all know that mutations produce evolution and that thing called punctuated equilibrium. That's a huge, big word. It's got to work. No, it doesn't. Okay, Lord willing, we'll get to that next week. Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Sunrise Baptist Church and Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, before you go, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? You see, here's the problem. The Bible says that nobody automatically gets to go to heaven, and that's because God is holy and we are not. The Bible says that the wages of our sin or our unholiness or the wrong things that we have done have separated us from God. And the wages of our sin or unholiness means that we deserve to die and receive God's judgment to go to hell and not heaven. In other words, we're disqualified for heaven. And that's because God being holy and us being not, the two cannot mix. So what are we going to do? Well, that's bad enough. The other problem is we don't even want to admit this dilemma, even though God already knows it all. And so out of love, God gave us something called the Ten Commandments to show us that we're really disqualified for heaven. We're not holy. We're not perfect like Him. Let's take a look at just a few of those here today. The Bible says, the Ten Commandments says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you ever told a lie before? Well, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just did. Okay, let's be honest, folks. Let's not tell another lie. We've all lied. Well, believe it or not, that disqualifies you for heaven. That's how holy God is. He is the truth. He does not lie. And so that makes us a liar. Another of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not steal. Okay, how many of you ever taken anything without permission? Well, all of our hands should have went up at that one. We've already said we're a bunch of liars. Okay, well, we've all done that. And it doesn't have to be a bank. It could be a pencil in the third grade. That means that we're a thief. Okay, the Bible says that God is so holy, even His name is holy. And that's why one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Hey, folks, isn't it ironic how now the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved, Jesus Christ, has now become a cuss word? Folks, the Bible says that's the sin of blasphemy, okay? And folks, let's be honest. We've used God's name in vain before. The Bible also says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus takes the standard even higher. He says, listen, it's not just physical adultery. He says, surely I tell you that if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. God looks at the heart. One more out of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible says that the sin of hatred is akin to the sin of murder. You, in other words, in your heart, wish they were dead. You pulled the trigger, if you will, in your own heart. And the Bible says God sees that, and it's just as bad. He knows the mind, he knows the hearts, the thoughts, and the intents that we have. Folks, that's just five out of the Ten Commandments. How are you doing? Not very well. None of us can keep them. They're God's x-ray to show us that we're disqualified. And so when, not if, your time comes, because we're all marching towards the grave at different speeds, you're going to have to stand before God, and you're going to have to say who you really are. He already knows. Hey, God, let me into heaven. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, adulterer, and a murderer. Folks, the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's the problem. Here's the good news. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, what he did on the cross on our behalf, that we will not perish, we will not go to hell, but he will give us the gift of eternal life. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of all of our sins. It's something that we don't earn. We can't earn. It's a gift, the Bible calls it, and a gift cannot be earned. He was taking the death penalty in our place. That's what the cross was of the day. And that if we would just ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and believe that in our heart that God raised him from the grave, showing that his death is satisfactory to God to forgive us of all of our sins, no matter what we've done, the Bible says we shall be saved. The Apostle Paul says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the grave, we will be saved. Let me give you a common analogy of what God's doing and what he did for us with Jesus dying on the cross on our behalf. In life, we know that people can be sentenced for a crime to where they're actually on death row. The courtroom scene has completely finished. The gavel has already sounded. They are going to jail, and they're just awaiting their time before they go to the death penalty. As they're sitting there in the jail cell, it's a proven fact. They did what they did. Everybody knows it. They're just waiting for that time for their number to come up, so to speak, and walk down that hall and be executed. There's nothing they could do to reverse their crime. No amount of good works in that jail cell can reverse what they've done. It's too late. It's over. But believe it or not, there's one way that people even today can get off a death row. And that's if the one in authority, the governor, if he were to, out of mercy and kindness, nothing that the person did, because they don't earn it and they don't deserve it, and they can't earn it, if he would grant them what's called a pardon, out of the kindness of his heart, he has the authority to grant them a pardon and absolve them completely of their crimes against the state. And did you know that there's actually been people that this has happened to, that the governor, out of mercy, has granted them a pardon as a gift, and they've gone down to the jail cell and handed that person, extended it through the bars, here, I'm granting you a pardon. If you would just receive it, you can go free right now. And did you know that there's actually been people who've said, no, I don't want your pardon. And so what happened is of their own doing, even though they had a way out, they still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, can I tell you something? That's what God did for us with Jesus dying on the cross. He sent his son to take the death penalty in our place. He, God, has the authority to grant us through Jesus a complete pardon. And every day that you're still alive, God is extending to you spiritually this pardon. But a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it by faith. Won't you do that today? Won't you call upon the name of Jesus Christ? Ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, to trust in his work on the cross, to pardon us from all of our crimes, our sins against God. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. But there's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus. There's only one way to get off a death row. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. Won't you do that right now? Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Sunrise Baptist Church and Get a Life Ministries. And if there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our number, our information will come up here on the screen shortly. And if there's anything we could do for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. Thank you for joining us. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Sunrise Baptist Church. If you would like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 1780 Betty Lane, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89156. For more information, you can give us a call at 702-452-8599 or email us at bcrone@getalifemedia.com, or you can visit our website at www.getalifemedia.com. Billy Crone and this ministry can also be found on Facebook and Twitter. Join us for services at www.sunriselv.com.